Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So you get up in the morning and take a look in the mirror. And looking back at you is a person with bedhead, crusted eyes, maybe a little bit of that white stuff around your lips, and no hint of a smile. And you know already at least one thing. It's not a pretty picture. But you also know something else. You know that your boss, your boyfriend or girlfriend, not even the neighbors are ever going to see you like this. Instead, they'll see you cleaned up and ready to face the day, maybe even with a bounce in your step, wearing your best public face. You'll take the effort to do this, even if you don't feel like it, because you have no desire for people to see you in the mirror. This morning, we're focusing on the epistle reading from James. And according to James, God's church, that is, the people who make up the body of Christ, are not just to hear what God tells them to do, but to actually do it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I think we'd all agree with James. As a Christian, I am to act like a Christian and sound like a Christian, even think like a Christian each and every day. Sometime during the week before Jesus gave his life for us, some Greeks came to one of his disciples with a simple request. They said, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." If we acted as the people of God are to act, when people wanted to see Jesus, they would only have to look at us. Our words and actions would be reflections of his. If we did what James says we are to do, whenever the world looked at us, it wouldn't see you and me, it would see Jesus. Now, it may not sound like it, but this is actually a very Lutheran way of speaking. Luther wrote, "Man was created to be the image of God and to be his image for this very purpose, that God should and would be known through him. Therefore, God should appear and shine in the entire life and conduct of man as in a mirror, and a Christian should have no higher and greater concern than to live so as not to dishonor God's name." According to James and according to Luther, well, actually, according to God, we are to be a reflection of Christ to those around us. And unfortunately, this isn't always the case. In our lives of faith, we're blurry images of Christ, to say the least. Too often we do hear the word, and for one reason or another, we fail to be doers of the word. And when we do this, James says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. He looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. If we're honest, we have to admit that that's exactly what we do. We look more like that mourning face to others rather than Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, this shows up clearest in my life with the ones I love the most. They get to see that face in the mirror, not just in the morning, but regularly throughout the day. I'm able to do a pretty good job of putting on a good face, putting my better foot forward here at church or out there in public. But at home, amidst the daily stresses of life, my true self has a way of coming out. And when it does, I have to confess with St. Paul when he wrote, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." This is the reality for all of us as we struggle with the sin in our lives. And it's not a pretty picture. One of my favorite quotes from Mark Twain is this: most people are bothered by those passages of Scripture they don't understand, but the passages that bother me are those I do understand. Mark Twain must have read the letter of James. James is very easy to understand. He spells out very clearly what the Christian's life is to be. And already here in the first chapter, he very boldly and clearly points out that we are not the ideal Christians. We're not the ideal Christian church that God would have us to be. You know, we don't hear much from the book of James in the Lutheran church. In fact, at one point, Luther called the book of James a letter of straw, meaning there isn't much substance there. And James is pretty much ignored because it doesn't contain a lot of what we call explicit gospel. And for Luther, that was extremely important. The gospel must be clear. And he probably thought this way because the church of his day emphasized good works to the point that the gospel was all but lost. But we can't, and really we mustn't, ignore this book. James is in the Bible, and therefore it's God's word to us. But James is actually very helpful, as it gives us clear instruction on how we can put our faith into action. But it is hard to hear, because he touches on specific areas of our life that constantly need addressing. He doesn't only tell us to demonstrate our faith by what we do, but he also says things like, we shouldn't show favoritism to those who are wealthy over those who are poor, simply because they can do more for us personally. And maybe one of the most well-known section of James reminds us how unruly the tongue is and how easily it can get us into trouble when we don't control it. As James speaks like that, we can't help but be uncomfortable. Because it seems with every sentence, James is looking right into our lives. But that's good. That's good because he speaks of specific things I should or shouldn't be doing. And as he does that, I find myself convicted of the fact that I do fall short. You know, it's all too easy to simply go merrily through each day and forget that the Lord wants me to struggle with my sinful inclinations and to listen to the Holy Spirit whom he has sent into my life, both for my own good and also for those who are to see him through me. And when that happens, I have to admit, with St. Paul, so I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul says that I not only don't, but I can't fully do what God demands. But as he always does, what God demands, he also gives. God, through James, tells us to not just focus on the image in the mirror that is shown to us. He also reminds us that there is another image we have to see, the image his word tells us is ours as a gift of his grace. We heard it in James this morning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. And his best gift to us is found in his written word, another gift to us. It reveals him who is the Word who became flesh, God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is the radiance of the glory of God, is the perfect reflection of God's majesty and might, and he laid his glory aside to look like one of us. In fact, to be one of us. Isaiah said he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Just like you and me. But Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, came to us in order to do what we could not. He showed people what God looks like. He loved people perfectly. He loved with gentleness and compassion those who needed to know that they too were close to God's heart. And he loved those who thought they were close to God because they were born Jewish or because of the good things that they did. He loved them by clearly pointing out the truth that they missed the mark just as much as those they judged so harshly. Jesus did everything we do but can't because we are to do, excuse me. Jesus did everything that we are to do but can't because of our sin by fulfilling the law for us. In fact, James says that the one who does what the perfect law demands is liberated, set free. And that's what Jesus did for us. He set us free. But to do this, he also had to die on the cross. The broken law required death. And the death Jesus died was also for us. You see, because he died and rose again, we're blessed to receive what he earned for us. James says it this way. Of his own will, God brought us forth by the word of truth. And because God said this, we can say with St. Paul, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Hearing what God says through James tells us how much we need Christ. And God also says that we have Christ, and for his sake, he forgives us. You see, we have been brought forth by the word of truth. See, that means that we've been reborn. We've been remade. Now, talk about an extreme makeover. But unlike the makeover that simply changes the outside while leaving what's inside the same, God's makeover changes what's inside, even though what's seen outside still looks the same. And it's this inner transformation that God has given which begins to change the outside. Bit by bit, little by little, our actions, our speech, even our thoughts begin to conform to the new creation that God has made us to be. As people who are holy and reborn, we begin to look the part as we share God's love, his forgiveness, his mercy and grace with those he brings to us. Consider what Paul says in Romans chapter 7. I myself am satisfied that you yourselves are full of goodness. Think about the implications of that statement. Though so often all we see are the effects of sin in our lives, because we're filled with Christ, we're full of his goodness, and we're privileged to reflect that goodness to those around us. You know, as individuals and as the body of Christ, his church, we're desperate for forgiveness. We've failed. We fall short of what the Lord would have us do and be. We can't help but agree with God's word, as in the words of our confession, we admit our failures, our rebellion, our sin. But we also thank God for the forgiveness Jesus earned for us by his death and resurrection. And now, because of his complete and unconditional forgiveness, we are free. free to live as the people that God says we are right now. We can begin to see ourselves the way God sees us. And we can show that by reflecting that reality that as we begin to do what his word says. And no, we're not going to be able to do it perfectly, obviously. Only one was able to do that. But we can begin. We can begin to reflect his grace as we do things like visiting orphans and widows in their affliction and keeping oneself unstained from the world. In other words, as we take advantage of the opportunities God gives to put our faith into action while avoiding those things around us that are so clearly not pleasing to God. The image that the mirror reveals in the morning is not a pretty picture. And neither is the person God's law reveals, as it reminds us how we fail to live as we ought. But God's word shows us another picture, a beautiful picture, as we are assured of what God sees when he looks at us, the people he brought forth by the word of truth. He sees us as his son. He sees us perfect and holy. And he now gives us the privilege to reflect the image of a person who is at peace with God to those around him. Amen.